She shall hold him fast, and he shall not be confounded. And she shall exalt him among his neighbors, and in the midst of the church she shall open his mouth. These words are taken from the epistle for the feast of St. John the Evangelist. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, when the Hebrew nation was taken into captivity and brought into the pagan land of Babylon, they labored under an error that made their captivity almost impossible to bear. You see, they had lived for so many generations in the presence of Jerusalem and the ability of visiting the temple that they actually concluded that if they were removed from the temple, they would be removed from God himself. As one commentary states, they shared to some extent the pagan belief that the power and the presence of God were restricted to one particular region. To help them understand, though, that God was all-powerful and all-present, he appeared to the prophet Ezekiel while he was in the lands of Babylon. He did this to prove to the Hebrews that although they had been driven from Jerusalem in punishment for their sins, he was nevertheless still their all-providing and all-loving Father, who could assist them no matter where they found themselves. And among the many visions and revelations that Ezekiel received from God, I'd like to mention the beginning of these visions, which was a vision that Ezekiel had when God appeared to him riding in a chariot. And the four wheels of this chariot resembled four cherubim or angels. These cherubim took on the appearance of four specific creatures, each one facing a different point on the compass, north, south, east, and west. The first creature appeared to be a man. The second appeared as a lion. The third as an ox. And the final creature, the fourth, was an eagle. These creatures in this vision that Ezekiel had can tell us much about the power and majesty of God. And the church has used these four creatures to remind us of the knowledge and the wisdom of God that has been spread throughout the four corners of the world by the four Gospels. For in each of these creatures, the Gospel sees a fitting precursor to one of the four evangelists. For the cherubim that appeared to be a man, our Holy Mother, the Church, has us remember St. Matthew, who starts out his gospel by showing the genealogy of our Lord, who was true God and true man. For the figure of the lion, we see St. Mark, who began his gospel by speaking of St. John the Baptist, who was the lion in the desert, proclaiming the coming of the Messiah to all. For the figure of the ox, we see St. Luke, who began his gospel speaking of Zachary offering sacrifice in the temple, of which the ox was the central figure. And finally, there is the eagle, soaring high and swift above all other creatures. The eagle truly is a fit representation for St. John the Evangelist. You are quite familiar with the opening words of his gospel, which we use every single Mass pretty much throughout the year as the last gospel of the Mass. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. These words that St. John the Evangelist used to open his gospel are on both a philosophical and theological level among the most lofty and sublime words ever written. For in addressing our Lord as the Word, St. John summarized all that can be said about God in that term, the Word. All that can be said of God's infinite attributes and the relationship between the Father and the Son is contained in that one sentence. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so it is that his gospel begins by soaring above the others, explaining to our finite minds a glimpse of the Blessed Trinity. And to prove the divinity of our Lord was the number one purpose of St. John, in which he primarily focused in his Gospels, while the other three Gospels primarily focused on our Lord's sacred humanity. St. John truly then is the eagle even amongst his fellow evangelists. And one might ask, what was the source of this great grace and the blessing of this holy office? Why was St. John so chosen by our Lord and by God himself to stand out even amongst his fellow evangelists? Well, the answer is his great devotion to our Blessed Mother. And the answer is found in the epistle that is read for the feast of St. John the Evangelist. In the epistle, the words that which were originally written to show the effects that come from the love of justice, our Holy Mother, the Church, finds it very apt that we read these words and we think of all that our Blessed Mother did for St. John. In the terrible events of Holy Thursday night, when all the apostles had fled in terror from the garden, one apostle alone ran to Our Lady. This was St. John. He ran to the Blessed Mother in his time of terror and fear, and he never left her side. Through the continued terrors of Good Friday and even up to the burial of our Lord, St. John stayed close to our Blessed Mother, and what graces he received for that fidelity. Many of these graces are enumerated in the epistle for his Mass today. In the actual writing of the book of Ecclesiasticus, these favors are written in the future tense, but today we can read them in the past tense as graces that Our Lady gave to St. John. She fed him the bread of life and understanding. Her spirit and her example were strong in him. That is to say that St. John was courageous and strong, standing at the foot of his Master's cross, because our Blessed Mother was courageous and strong, standing at the foot of her Son's cross. She exalted him, the Holy Scriptures tell us, above his neighbors, and in the Church she has filled him with wisdom and understanding. And this is so admirably carried out when we read the Gospel and even the epistles of St. John and see that his great wisdom and profound truths are greater than even those of his fellow evangelists. And so, my dear friends, as St. John was so highly blessed by God, he was so because he made that decision to fly to Our Lady for protection, and she, in return, obtained for him the greatest graces and blessings. In our lives, then, if we are faithful to our Blessed Lady, she can do the same for us. She can give us strength and courage to bear our crosses and our daily trials, just as she helped St. John to stay strong at the foot of the cross. She can enlighten our minds and obtain for us the grace and the knowledge that we need to know and understand the truths of our faith better, especially as we see it contradicted and attacked on all sides. And finally, she will see to it that if we are faithful to her as St. John was, that our names also will be written in the book of everlasting life. If we have been faithful to her and constant in our devotion, we will know many reasons from personal experience why we should continue to trust in Our Lady. If, on the other hand, we have wandered from her and been carried away by the world, the flesh, or the devil, let us run to her powerful intercession, as St. John did when the forces of hell were arrayed against our Lord and his apostles. What confidence we can have in going to her when we hear the words that she herself spoke to St. Bridget. She told St. Bridget, especially concerning sinners who have recourse to her, "However great a man's sins may be, if he shall return to me, I am ready instantly to receive him. Nor do I regard the number or the enormity of his sins, but only the will that he has to come back to me. For I do not disdain to anoint and heal his wounds, because I am called truly, and I am the Mother of Mercy. How consoling are these words then, my dear friends, when we fly to Our Lady and when we fly from sin and its occasions, we are following the example of St. John the Evangelist. And in this case, there is no telling how many graces she can obtain for us. So then, on this feast of St. John, let us follow his example, the example set down for us by this beloved apostle of our Lord. He was the great eagle soaring high through the heavens, calling all to listen to his message. And his message was this: if you want to follow our Lord perfectly, if you want to remain faithful to him when all others run away, then go to our Blessed Mother. Stay close to her in any trial, in any tribulation. Ask her for any grace you need, and she will help you, St. John would say to us, just as she helped me. Imitating her virtues, receiving her blessings, and following her example will win for you, St. John would tell us, the many graces that it won for me, and eventually will see you also happy forever in heaven. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.